reading with you today that comes from the Stoic philosopher Epictetus, who wrote, "This is our predicament. Over and over again, we lose sight of what is important and what isn't. We crave things over which we have no control and are not satisfied by the things within our control. We need to regularly stop and take stock, to sit down and determine within ourselves which things are worth valuing and which things are not, which risks are worth the cost and which are not. Even the most confusing or hurtful aspects of life can be made more tolerable by clear seeing and by choice." Make sure I've got a green light. Okay. So, what things we focus on, which things are worthy of our attention and which things are not. And I really appreciated the reading earlier from Henry Nouwen about how it's easy to have gratitude for the things that we appreciate in our lives, but it's more difficult to have gratitude about the challenges and the struggles that we experience. That takes a little more work. And as I was thinking about these readings, and I was thinking about this idea of gratitude, I was thinking about the way that we focus on different things in our lives. And I thought about when I watch some movies that we have on the, you know, physical media before we streamed everything. We had discs that we would put in a disc player, and it would have some special deleted scenes, or it would have the director's commentary, and you could listen to why they did the things that they did. Or even some movies have a director's cut, where there's a whole version of the film that is true to the director's original vision. And when you think about it, it's really amazing how movies get made. They film all of this footage, and some of it you never even see. Some of it gets cut out for whatever reason. They're trying to focus on a particular thing. They're trying to keep the story moving along. Something went wrong with the filming of that particular scene or whatever, and they just leave it on the cutting room floor, and you never see it. That's not part of the story that you get told. And sometimes, if a movie's really popular, the director will come back along and say, "Well, here's how I originally envisioned this. And it's, you know, 2.5 more hours, but it's going to be great, and you're going to love it." And some people are really excited about that, being able to see the original vision that the director had for how this story would be told and how it would flow and everything else. Our lives are kind of like that. We are both the directors of the story of our lives, and we're also the viewers of the story of our lives. Some of the things in our lives, we just leave on the cutting room floor and try to forget about as we move on. It's hard to do that with some experiences. But some things we focus on, and we make it really important. So when we view the director's cut of our lives, there are some things that we focus on, that we draw our attention to, things that we make our lives about more than anything else. And if we aren't really thoughtful about how we do that, we can focus on some rather strange things sometimes. My mom was in a car accident when she was a teenager. It was really serious accident. She had to have some reconstruction on her face. There's scar tissue on half of her face now, and it was what she defined her life by for a long time. That one incident, that really tragic occurrence in her life, defined how she viewed herself. It defined what she thought of her appearance, and it defined what she thought of her worth. She grew up in a religious tradition that taught that if that sort of thing happened to you, then that was God punishing you for something. So there was a little bit of that tied in there too. That wasn't the only thing that ever happened to her, but for a long time, that was how she defined her life. That was the lens through which she viewed it. That was the focus. That was the director's cut of her life, was all about that accident. And at a certain point, I don't even know what triggered it, but she and I were having a conversation, And she mentioned something that was going on, and I said, oh, is this, does this go back to the scar tissue? And she said, I don't really think so. And I'm kind of over that now. And I said, what do you mean you're over that? And she said, well, I've just decided that, you know, some people are really crappy drivers, and I just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I thought, how amazing, you have changed the story of your life. You have left something on the cutting room floor, or at least you've made it less important. You've trimmed that scene down so that it's not what you focus on anymore in your life. When we can do that, it's amazingly freeing. And it gives us an opportunity to focus on the things that we are grateful for. Because if we want to, we can make the director's cut of our lives about the things that we are grateful for. We can make gratitude the focal point of our stories. Sometimes it takes more work than other times. There are some things it's difficult to be grateful for. I have been doing a lot of piano playing this fall. I do a lot of accompanying with different choral groups, usually, most of them middle school choirs in the school district near where I live. But I was asked to accompany a high school men's choir for a special event that they were doing at Sam Houston State University. And we practiced it. I worked on the music. It was kind of difficult. It was a little more difficult than the normal stuff I was doing, but it was still fine. And we rehearsed it, and it went fine. And we got to the site where the performance was going to be for the event, and there was a huge 9-foot grand piano on that stage, and the acoustics were magnificent, and it was so overpowering to the choir that I had to really back off. And what I mean by really backing off on the amount of volume that was coming out is I had to do something physically different than what I had been preparing to do. It was not just flipping a knob or turning a switch or something like that. I had to physically do something that was different than how I had been preparing. And it went all right. We got to the actual performance, and for whatever reason, from my perspective, it was a catastrophe. Just the worst than I could have possibly imagined playing that piece of music. Now, the choir wasn't bothered by it. They kept going. It was not like we had to stop and the director had to look at me with a mean expression on his face. Yeah, none of that. From my perspective, though, it was so much worse than what I had hoped to do with that performance. I didn't even want to accept compensation for it because I said, that's not, you don't need to pay me for that. And he said, well, I don't think it was as bad as you thought it was. And I thought he was just trying to be nice. I was at another event the next weekend. There was a director there who had been in the audience. And he made some mention to, you know, being able to see me a lot. And I said, yeah, but I kind of wish you'd just forget about the last time you saw me because that was awful. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, that was such a subpar performance. I was so embarrassed by that. And he said, oh, I don't know what you mean. I didn't really notice anything that went wrong. How amazing those different perspectives are. So the focus that I had was on how I should be embarrassed by the performance that I had done. That scene, in the way that I was playing the movie of my life, that scene was a really catastrophic moment. That was the moment in the story where things just fall apart. And it wasn't that at all from somebody else's perspective. So I am grateful that I was able to hear those other perspectives, that I was able to refocus that and say, wow, the story of my life might be that I am a lot more critical of myself than anybody else around me is. That I expect a lot more from myself and I judge myself more harshly than some other people around me. And maybe there's a way that I can accept appreciation from other people more, well, that I can be more receptive to it, that I can take that in a little more deeply and be grateful for it rather than let shame be the lens that I look through for the story of my life. Now, there are some things that happen in people's lives that it's very difficult to be grateful for. And I know some people who have been through tragedies, they've been through some kind of abuse, or they've been through some situation where they were the victim of some violence. And they turn that around and they're able to say, you know, I am grateful for this experience because it taught me X, Y, and Z. Maybe you are one of those people where you have had an experience like that and you've been able to turn it around and say, I'm grateful for that. Sometimes that might be a little too tall of an order. I don't think that's necessary for us to be able to look at our lives and weigh every single thing that has happened to us with gratitude and look at everything through that lens. Sometimes it's worth it for us to be able to let go of certain things that have happened and to focus on the things that really do evoke our gratitude. Every moment of our life isn't equally significant. We might make some moments more significant than other moments. But a lot of it depends on the lens that we look through. So, as we look back at our lives, if we find ourselves dwelling on those moments that are painful to us, we can look for gratitude in those things. We can also question whether we are letting that painful moment define us too greatly. When I think about the relationship that I have with my grandfather, there's a lot of gratitude in that. I'm also not really happy with having lost him when I did. I was not done with him. I was not done with that relationship. There was more that I wanted to share with him. There was more that I wanted to learn from him. And it took some time for me to get past just having felt this loss and this sense that he was taken from me and think, actually, I'm really grateful for the relationship itself. It took me thinking about why I cared that much that I had lost him, which is a silly thing to say. Of course you care that you have lost somebody that you care about. It's an emotional response. So it was an odd question for me to say, why do I care so much about this? Why am I living into this pain so much? Well, it's because of how much I appreciated him. It's about how much I got from that relationship. That pain was because I cared so much. And that care is something that I could be grateful for. All of the stories, all of the lessons, all of those moments that I can call up. I mean, if I play through the montage of my relationship with my grandfather, that's a happy montage. There's a lot there to be grateful for. So in that instance, I can reflect on a painful experience and say, it's painful to me because it was meaningful to me, because this relationship was valuable to me. Maybe that's something that we can do with a spiritual practice of reflecting and asking ourselves questions that might seem silly. Why does this hurt? Well, it hurts because this is the meaning that I attach to it. I've lost something that I really care about, or whatever it happens to be. There might be some experiences that we've had, like my mom's traffic accident, that we can just let them mean a lot less in the story of our lives, because ultimately, those are not the things that define us. Well, they're the things that define us if we make those the things that define us, but they don't have to be the things that we focus on in our lives. We can focus on the opportunity to create things that are beautiful, like a crocheted flower. Or we can focus on the relationships that we have with people that have gone before us, like the book, knowledge, learning, the things that we can see, the relationship that we have with our pets and the people who are with us right now in the present tense. There are so many things. If we just look around even this room, there are things that are put up in this room to remind us of things to be grateful for. The music that we have in our lives, the opportunity we have to seek the truth in love and help each other, the art that's on the wall, the things that all of that art represents. We cannot look around our lives and not see things to be grateful for. But we decide how big of a role they play in the story of our lives. Uh, I was going to maybe allow a little time today for someone to share things that they are grateful for. We've done that a little bit with the story for all ages, and yet I kind of feel like this is a moment where something that you have to share could be meaningful to somebody else in the room. And since I don't know what everybody is grateful for, I'll just give a moment. If there's something that you just want to express, that when we talk about gratitude, there's something that comes to mind that is meaningful to you, I want to give you an opportunity to share that with each other, even though you probably do that already.
This is kind of strange, which is why I wanted to say. I mean, I have multiple sclerosis, and I'm a little open about that. Most people know that. And after I was diagnosed with that, and I realized how differently I started seeing things, and I was grateful for that because I really started noticing more personal things about people. That there are a lot of things where people have issues and may need help or whatever, and they look fine. Because I look fine. And now I use a cane now just for balance reasons. But now they think, oh, well, you know, she does have an issue. But before I used a cane, I would use a service of some kind. And sometimes people say tacky things to me. Now the cane, nobody ever does that. I mean, you know, that's sad, and it taught me a lot, and I hate that I had to get sick to learn those things. So I'm grateful so, all the time that I can still walk and that I can be here, and I don't drive anymore. I'm grateful. Some weird things with my vision. I'm grateful.
So what I'm hearing you say is you're grateful for your illness, not just because there are so many things that you're still able to do, but also because the perspective that you have toward other people is more compassionate now. Great.
I'm grateful for my good, beloved friend Faith being here.
Yeah, the relationships that we have in our lives are some of the things that I think evoke a lot of gratitude whenever we think about this stuff. Yes, sir.
I'm grateful for my health and my good name, two things that you cannot buy in life. And I'm also grateful for my family, my partner, my friends.
Yeah. What does it mean to have a good name? Can you define that for us? I mean, it's a phrase that we hear, but what does it mean to be grateful for your good name?
You know just about everyone. Again, if you lose your good name, you can't. It's not returnable to you.
So you're saying the reputation you have with other people?
Exactly.
So the way that you live your life.
Emblem of conduct.
Yeah, your emblem of conduct. Okay. So the way that you live your life is noticed by other people and valued and appreciated. Yeah. It means a lot. Yes.
Oh, my truck broke down. I crawled underneath it and wrestled with everything and got it fixed. And Thanksgiving, I thanked my father. I said, you know what? You raised mechanically competent sons. That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, so this gift of the relationship from your father, you were able to continue using this skill that he taught you in your life, and that gives you a sense of, how does that make you feel to be able to do that?
I just wonder what I would be like if I couldn't do these things.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, take care of myself and do all these things and fix things and make things work thank you for giving me the skill. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting way that we sometimes can get to gratitude by being able to reflect on what would it be like if this was not what my life was about. If I didn't have this in my life, what would it be? If I did not have this particular friendship, what would I be missing in my life? And that can evoke our gratitude as well. If we have trouble tapping into gratitude, sometimes using our imaginations a bit and saying, what would it be like if I did not have this amazing thing in my life or this amazing relationship, this amazing person in my life, and that can help evoke gratitude. Some people don't have any trouble evoking gratitude. Some people just are grateful by nature and they can look around and their lives are just full of gratitude. That's the way they walk around every day. Some of us have to work a little harder at it. Not because we're worse at feeling gratitude, but because sometimes we get in our own way a lot. Sometimes we get angry that our truck has broken down and we have to fix it, and we concentrate on the inconvenience and we concentrate on the frustration of those experiences and we let it be about something different. And sometimes we focus on, I'm so grateful that I'm able to do this thing, to fix this thing that has broken in my life and get it working again. Yes.
I had a realization that I had never been thankful enough that I have two legs. And I've suddenly gone on through that again, that doctor told the other four doctors, no, don't cut it off, I'll fix it.
Okay, yeah.
It's like, I just took it for granted all these years, and now I'm starting to feel more.
And there are so many of us that could feel grateful for having two legs, and you have had an experience that kind of brings that very present to you. Yeah, one more. Yes.
I'm grateful for the cultural changes that happened during the 60s and 70s.
Okay.
Because my dad, I've learned through various sources what life used to be like, and I could not live life the way people used to live life back then.
Okay.
I've been exposed to information about what life was like back then, and it just, life before the 60s just seems so dystopic.
Well, I think that is part of that connection with the past, right? When we are able to look back and see the distance that we've traveled, there are a lot of things in our present reality that can rob us of gratitude. There are a lot of things that can provoke our anger and our frustration, and we look around at things happening in the world and we feel helpless sometimes. And yet, if we look back at the trajectory of things and we say, okay, well, how were things 50 years ago? How were things 200 years ago? What was our social justice situation 300 years ago? Sometimes looking at that trajectory and having that connection with the past allows us to say, okay, there's a lot that I am grateful for about the society that I live in, about the opportunities that people have, about the things that we're able to do to care for one another today that may not have been as easy in a previous time. So, All of these things can give us an opportunity to define our lives by gratitude, so that the story of our lives, when we play that movie back to ourselves, is not about suffering and hardship, even though those things happen to all of us, but the story of our lives at the end of the day is about gratitude. The things that we have, the relationships that we have that are meaningful to us, that really make our lives worth living. And I don't think any of us are without those things that we can feel grateful for if we just look around us. So we are going to sing together, Life is the Greatest Gift of All. So I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we sing number 331.